This presentation has been previously broadcast.
Well, thanks for joining me today. It's great to be able to pray with you. If you missed me yesterday, I am back. I had been away from the mic for a little while. I was on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And just a shout out to all my fellow pilgrims. It was great to get to meet you, great to pray with you, great to hang out with you, great to share with you. And I'm so grateful for the time that you and I had together. That trip, I understand, filled up pretty quickly. They had to shut it off. And maybe next time, you'll be able to travel with us as well. Many of you sent me intentions, and this is the time we stop and we pray. I'll share something I shared yesterday in case you missed it. All those intentions that came in, and there was a ton of intentions that were sent in for the chaplet here to take over to the Holy Land. And they went everywhere we went. I prayed for your marriage at Cana. I prayed for that future spouse that you are praying for at Cana. I prayed for your children at the place where Christ worked his first public miracle at the intercession of our Blessed Lady. I prayed in particular, I had some extra special time when I was on Calvary. And there where Christ died in agony, he died for love of you and love of me. I prayed for your deepest intentions. I prayed in Gethsemane, where the Lord asked the Lord to take, the Heavenly Father, to take this cup from him, but submit it to his holy will. I prayed for his will. If you have a loved one in prison, I prayed for them at the place where Christ was held by Caiaphas. It was a pretty amazing sight, a deep cistern, a deep hole where Christ was. It was where he recited Psalm 88. It was just a very powerful, moving moment, and I prayed intensely. So know that your intentions were not only prayed for me, but then we gave them to the Carmelite nuns over there and left them also at Calvary. So these intentions were prayed for by, they're going to be prayed for by name by these nuns. So it's an incredible gift to you, and I'm just so happy to be able to be here with you live today. If you want to get in, you know the number, right? It's 888-914-9149. I do have a couple interesting intentions to share with you. I want to put something on your radar. Not this week, but next Wednesday, I'm going to join Father Rocky for the Rosary Across America. And I hope you'll join me that night. And I'm really trying to think about what special intention we should pray for that night when I pray the Rosary. We'll pray the chaplet. But join me that evening, okay? It's the 26th. Mark your calendar. And on October 26th, we'll get together and we'll turn to the Mother of God. So it should be a big day. And, so many people are going to gather for that prayer that night. I just know that there'll be torrents of grace and lots of answered prayers happening. So I'm looking forward to that. Right now, I do want to pray for a friend. I spoke to him last night. He's a physician. I think I'll keep his name anonymous. What do you think, Mags? Right? You know who I'm talking about here. And he is going through an unbelievable lawsuit right now. This is a man who is innocent, a man who is moral, a man who is generous and just, and a man who's doing a really good work for the Lord. And as a result of it, there's been some false accusations that have been leveled against him, a lawsuit that could take three times his net worth. And it's just not right. And I my personal advice, I'm no prophet, right? I'm no visionary. I'm no different than you in terms of my prayer. But I had the sense, I told him, I said, you're going to prevail. You're going to be victorious in this battle. Why? Because this is what Satan is doing. He's attacking you. He's fomenting division. He's the great deceiver. He loves to lie, right? Because of the work that you're doing to help serve the church and help serve so many others. So I'd ask you to pray for this particular man. He could certainly use your prayers. And if you're listening to me and you want me to share your name, just send me a text. I'll be more than glad to do that. A couple other intentions came in. This person says, hey, Drew, could you pray for my brother? He's a victim of a hit and run in Montana. We're asking prayers for a miracle for him. He has major head trauma. The doctors are saying he will probably not react. I believe in God. I know he has the last words. So we will pray for him. Another person says, could you pray for my nephew and his wife? She's 5 months pregnant with a little girl. Recently found out that she may have medical issues. They're having tests to find out more. So they're praying for good results. Another person says, pray for my son. Please pray for my son. He's been very distressed about his marriage. He has two children, ages 4 and 2. Things have gotten bad over the last month, and I'm praying that they would reconcile, that their marriage would be restored and peaceful. Thank you for your prayers. I'll keep her name private. And one last one from Susan in San Diego. I'll give you your name. Please pray for my cataract surgery, that it will be completely successful. And I think she just had that, so because I was away when it went down. But I wanted to bring that to you because God's outside of time. I want to pray for her recovery. She also prayed for the conversion of her family, so, and all the holy souls in purgatory. So we'll continue to reiterate those particular prayers. Maggie is praying with me today. Good to have her with me. Maggie, anything you want to lift up?
Hi, Drew. You know what? I caught up with Cyrus earlier today. I asked him how his brother-in-law Mike was doing after that surgery, that brain surgery the other day. He said that they, you know, initially were really nervous for him because he had that internal bleeding. But he said, you know what? I just got a text from my family saying that he's being sent home.
Wow.
So I was like, well, that means he must have drastically improved.
That's fantastic.
And he said, yeah, I don't know what's going on, but he said, just continue to pray for his brother-in-law, Mike.
Yeah, we will do that. I love that. God hears prayers. I say it to you all the time. I had lunch with Father Rocky and Kay Burke and some other friends of the network here, and we were just talking about that. I said, every day I pray this chaplet, and this is no credit to me. This is you, and this is the mercy of God. It's all of us just imploring our Heavenly Father for mercy. Every day, without question, there are answered prayers that come into my inbox. Every week, there are beautiful testimonies. Some are small, and some are amazing, like tumors the size of a tennis ball disappearing. You know, and I love those. They're super dramatic. Of course, who wouldn't, right? But God answers prayers large and small. So I want to pray for you now, okay, whatever your intention may be, and let's just bring it to the Lord, okay? We'll present it to Him, and we'll ask Him in a special way to really let that grace of healing and unity and conversion and blessing and abundance come your way. Maggie will take your Twitter intentions, too. So go to @DrewMariani Show. That's @DrewMariani or @DrewMarianiShow. Two ways to get a hold of me. Yeah, but put your intentions there @DrewMarianiShow, and Maggie will share some of them coming up in a minute. But we'll begin as we do every day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right. We will take our first call today from Angie, praying with us in Austin, Texas. Hi, Angie.
Hi, Angie. Thanks for... I'm sorry. I'm Angie. Hi, Drew.
Hi, Angie.
I'm calling for prayers for my daughters. They are not speaking with each other, so I'm praying for reconciliation, peace, unity. It's really bothersome to me and making it difficult. Also, I'd like to pray that I do not have a torn rotator cuff so that I can avoid surgery. I have an MRI coming up, and so I don't want surgery. I need healing on my shoulder.
Well, let's pray for that. We'll pray for your healing and for no surgery. If God wants you to go through it, we'll pray for successful surgery. Let's pray that you won't have to do that. But I think this intention of unity within the family, that's one of those intentions that I know the Lord always hears and he always wants to answer. I have no doubt in my mind that these intentions are something that the Lord will honor, because you know he told us anything we ask of this of him through this chaplet, if it's according to his will, if it's God's will, then it will be granted. And I believe the Lord wants your children united. I believe he wants your marriage united. I believe he wants your loved ones free from addiction. And I believe that's one of the secrets of the power of this particular prayers. You know, it's such an extraordinary promise the Lord gave to St. Faustina. It's extraordinary. And I really believe we got to pray with faith and trust, saying, Lord, I'm going to hold you to that. I believe in what you said, and I am going to stand on it. And again, it's diary entry 1731. It's several places the Lord put it. But he said, through the chaplet, you will obtain everything. Okay? That's pretty big, right? Through the chaplet, you will obtain everything. If what you ask is compatible with my will. Don't you think it's God's will that your daughters are united? Don't you think it's God's will your kids are free from addiction? Don't you think it's God's will that that sacramental marriage is healed? I do. So I'm going to pray for that now. I'm going to pray for many graces to flow. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Teresa is praying in San Diego, California. Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Hey, good to have you with me. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, my intention was a prayer of thanksgiving. I'm thanking God for having kept all of us pilgrims safe during the Nativity pilgrimage to the Holy Land,
yeah,
and for having brought us all to and back safely on our flight.
Amen to
so
that.
Sure.
Teresa, how are you holding up, by the way? Let me ask you, you're still fighting jet lag?
Yes. I slept almost all the past, you know, Wednesday and Thursday. It's like,
when I got home, Teresa's a fellow pilgrim. She was on this journey with me, and I agree. I could barely get out of bed. I did my show remotely the first day I was home because I just couldn't hold my eyes open. You know, it's so late for me, but, you know, and I couldn't believe how many hours I slept. Today, I feel the same way. Yeah. I feel like I've been hit with a sleepy stick. It's tough. But let's pray right now, all right? We'll pray in Thanksgiving. Thank you for calling in for that, because I think that's such an important thing to do. Lord, I give you all of Teresa's intentions. You know her personal needs. She didn't ask for anything. But, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the crosses of her life. We give you thanks for the many blessings that you bestow upon us. We thank you for the miracles that are in the offing. We just give you thanks for your love and for your mercy. And please forgive us for the times we fail to thank you. So, Lord, let those graces now flow to fill the hearts of all who are united with me in prayer as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Carol. Before I go to Carol in Jacksonville, Florida, let me bring Maggie into the conversation. She, of course, is monitoring our Twitter feed. It's a great way to get your intentions in. You can go to @DrewMarianiShow. At Twitter. You can follow me at Drew Mariani. But put your intentions there. Maggie looks at them. She brings them to air. Please, when God hears these prayers, I know there are many answered prayers. Many of them are taking place right now. Email me, drew@relevantradio.com. Drew@relevantradio.com. And in the byline, just put answered prayer, a little memo field there. So I make sure I see it and can share it with everyone. Maggie, what's coming in?
Drew, do you remember one of the last decades yesterday? There was a grandmother that called in for her baby Haley.
Oh, yeah.
With the tumor on the face. Yep.
It was horrible, right between the eyes. Right?
Yeah. We had a couple people on Twitter say we're praying for baby Haley, so I just wanted to lift that up. Katie wrote to us and said, prayers for my boyfriend as he got bad news at work the other day and that the drama at work will cease. Lisa Ann wrote to us and said, can you please pray for a special intention that's tearing our family apart? Literally, we need a miracle. We need to be healed and reconcile with each other. Thank you so much. She says, I pray for every one of you in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day.
Thank you so much.
Mike wrote to us. He said he's got a big interview today at 3:30 for a role, for a new job, a role in his archdiocese. So I want to pray that that goes well. And a special intention of mine I just want to lift up.
All right, Meg, thank you. We'll certainly do that. I'd ask you to pray for me too, especially, I said this the other day, Satan does not like this chaplain. He certainly doesn't like what I do on the air. And he wants to attack me as well. And I come under spiritual attack. So just, my prayer is just for protection. If you could offer a prayer for me for spiritual protection from the way Satan loves to divide and foment and attack, I'd be grateful for that. Carol joins us now, though, from Jacksonville, Florida. Carol, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
Welcome.
I talked to you about 8 months ago about this little baby, Graham Sykes, who had his first heart surgery 8 months ago. He's now 10 months old and is having another surgery, and they're flying him tomorrow to Austin, Texas. And it's a very rare condition, and it's a very complex procedure, operation that they're doing on him this time. So he needs many prayers. He'll be in surgery for quite a few hours. So I'd ask for everyone to pray for him. He's done well so far, and thank you for all the prayers last time, because it definitely made the difference. And just asking for more prayers for Graham.
Amen. Well, let's pray for complete healing. If that's not God's will, then we thank the Lord for the technology, the intellect, and the gift of medicine. And Lord, I just ask that you be the hands of these physicians. You are the divine physician. I just give you this little baby. I give you his heart. I unite it to your merciful heart. I give you his family, who I know are probably suffering in unimaginable ways. And I ask for your intervention here, for the family, for this child, and now for all who are united with me in prayer. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to the city of brotherly love next. Frank is praying there. Hi, Frank. Good afternoon.
Welcome back, Drew.
Thanks.
Yesterday, I just found out the results of my MRI in my left foot. It has osteomyelitis, just a bone infection.
Okay.
I had to go to Monday to the hospital for surgery. They're going to remove the bone. I'm praying it's a successful operation and it doesn't come back. And also quickly want to thank Patrick, the unsung hero of Relevant Radio. He's an important part of this whole process. And that's my prayer request, Drew.
Is that Patrick Alog or Madrid?
Yeah. Patrick Alog. He's the boss behind the scenes, and he does a great job. He covers everyone.
Well, Patrick, thank you. Patrick's on our phones right now, so he's our call screener back there. And I'm glad you sent him out a shout, Frank. I know he appreciates that, and he is one of those guys behind the scenes. But, Frank, a lot of intentions coming in today for surgeries, for medical healing. So, Lord, I thank you for the crosses that you've given us, the opportunity to grow in holiness and sanctity and to offer our sacrifice and suffering to united to you on the cross. But I ask today, just as you healed leprosy, you restored sight, you restored the ability to walk as you rose from the dead. I ask you to touch those who right now are asking for that healing, that relief from that pain, for that successful procedure, for good results. And I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Is this our fifth call already? Wow.
Yeah.
Carlotta is joining us from St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Carlotta.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for this ministry. It's You're a welcome. Blessing for everyone.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm praying for my grandson, AJ. I called last year, but I never got in. And he ended up having thyroid cancer, and now he has to go in for another biopsy. So I'm praying for healing for my grandson, AJ, and my other grandchildren have other issues. So I'm praying for them, and I truly thank you for Relevant Radio and this ministry.
Well, I'm going to pray for complete healing, a real miracle, for long life for little AJ. All right, I pray for your grandson. I pray for all those with thyroid cancer. And I really just ask the Lord to be merciful. I remember my mother had a little run with that when I was a little boy. And I had prayed so hard for her. And, of course, she lived a very long and robust life. So I know God does hear prayers. And, Lord, I pray for anyone battling cancer, anyone on chemo or radiation or taking immunotherapy or any sort of drugs, anyone right now, this in particular is dealing with thyroid cancer. I pray for Carlotta here and her intentions and for all those other ones she has. We'll add Irma to the mix. She's in California. Hi, Irma. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Hi.
I just like to pray that the voters of California can win the abortion law and just vote for life.
You broke up a little bit. I think I got what you said, right? That you're asking for all to pray that in the state of California that voters there, their hearts will be convicted, their minds will be clear, and they'll vote down Prop 1. Did I get that?
Yes.
Amen to that. Let's do that. We'll pray for life. And, you know, Lord, I just ask for mercy on this country because I know we offend you so grievously with this assault on life. I pray in Michigan for Prop 3, for California for Prop 1. I pray that life is upheld, and I pray for the healing for any woman who's made the mistake of abortion. I pray for those in the industry who are profiting and participating in this culture of death, Lord, for their conversion. You told St. Faustina, the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to your mercy. So, Lord, I pray for conversion on this hour. For those souls in particular that I just mentioned, but for all of our loved ones, our children, our siblings, our spouses, our parents, whoever it may be, Lord, that soul who's most in need of your mercy in our family. We lift them up to you now, too. Joe is praying in Illinois. Joe, good afternoon.
Hi, how you doing, Joe?
I'm all right, Joe. How are you?
I'm trying to hang in there. Found out that my wife is cheating on me, and I mean, I want to pray that that I may heal from this, and that I also want to pray for my wife and for the person who's doing this. And I also want to, you know, ask that you pray for my family. That the times are really hard right now, and I'm going through job problems and. Money problems and basically faith in God helping me to get through this time.
Well, Joe, look, I'm going to promise you my deepest personal prayers. I'll share this with my wife as well. I can't imagine what you're going through because it's the perfect storm. And you can deal with finances, you can deal with the job. I mean, they're great crosses for you, but to have a spouse that's not faithful, that's a dagger in the heart. It's a gut punch. And my heart goes out to you. It really does. You will get through this. We're going to pray right now. We're going to pray for your wife's conversion. We're going to pray for your marriage. And I know so many listeners right now are touched by your testimony, your story. They've walked in your shoes. And I just want you to be aware of how much prayer is now coming your way. All right. So as things get tough, know that prayers are coming. And you're going to have it today, and you're going to have it in the days ahead. Hey, you know, and here's a prayer to pray. It's a small little prayer because I know you love your wife. I'm sure you want to reconcile. In the very beginning of St. Faustina's diary, I think it's 186, 187, the Lord said this to St. Faustina. He says, I desire you to know more profoundly the love that burns in my heart for souls. And you'll understand this when you meditate on my passion, he told her. He says, call upon my mercy on behalf of sinners. Call upon my mercy on behalf of sinners. I desire their salvation. He says, when you say this prayer with a contrite heart, when you say it with faith on behalf of some sinner, I will give them the grace of conversion. This is a big promise in the Divine Mercy diary, a big promise that's often overlooked. When you say the prayer I'm about to share with you, with a contrite heart and with faith on behalf of some sinner, I will give that soul the grace of conversion. This is the prayer, the Lord said. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. So just pray that prayer over and over again. All right, just keep praying that. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. Lord, I pray for Joe. Fortify him, strengthen him, heal his marriage, heal memories and heal those wounds. I pray for any troubled marriage. I pray where there's ever infidelity. And I give to you now the needs, the wants, the desires, the prayers deep in the hearts of so many united with me in prayer. I trust in your mercy. And I turn to it now with faith and confidence as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Kateri Tekakwitha.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I'll be right back.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
In southern England, a town there has made it illegal to make the sign of the cross in public areas around an abortion clinic. The town council also made it illegal to recite scripture or sprinkle holy water near the abortion provider. Those caught doing so face a fine or risk a court conviction.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That is a surreal, an absolutely bizarre story. But as I zoom out, it makes total sense, doesn't it? No holy water, no prayer. Around a center where Satan loves to dance, right? Where he performs his dirty deed of abortion, right? His sacrament, you know, the altar of worship to the evil one. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. So does that surprise you? When I first heard the story, I'm like, it can't be true. You can't. The sign of a cross has become illegal? Yeah, come on. That was a little news you just heard from our friends over at EWTN, a piece of news that I personally found shocking. Right. You know, it's just unbelievable. You know, a lot of news to talk about. And I want to send a shout out to everyone who sat in for me while I was gone. I mean, John Harper, great job. So grateful to have you sit in. Of course, Kale took a day. Kevin Turley's going to be joining me in a minute. And just did a phenomenal job in my absence. And it was great to turn over the mic to such competent people. And I was actually thinking of him because I was watching European news when I was in the Middle East, and I was tracking the story of the former British Prime Minister, Liz Truss, and her resignation. And of course, as you probably have seen, the American media is now covering it as well. It just calls reverberations around the world, and I want to get to that a little bit later. But what should really be causing people to be concerned is what's happening right now in the UK, their move towards suppressing basic civil rights. That's what we're seeing. It's very similar to the suppression of rights that, you know, caused a bit of an uproar about 246 years ago, right? Do you know the city named Bournemouth? It's I believe it's on the southern coast of England, and it's put up signs around a two-block area saying that in that area between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., right? People are not allowed to protest. You can't hold vigils. You can't make the sign of the cross. You can't use holy water. You can't recite scripture. You cannot audibly pray. You can't genuflect. If you do, you better pony up 100 pounds. 100-pound fine for doing that. And of course, that two-block area, it contains an abortion clinic. And the law is specifically aimed at 40 days for life. And I go back to this organization just very quickly. I love this organization. They have unbelievable success. A lot of great people in the fight for life, okay? We see it in the educational levels. We see it in the political levels. We see a lot of activism out there. But their secret sauce is prayer and fasting. That's really, I mean, Christ said, you know, in Matthew, certain souls, certain demons can only be cast out through what? Prayer and fasting. That's what 40 Days for Life does. They couple their efforts with prayer and fasting, and we're seeing unbelievable success. We're seeing conversions. We're seeing clinics being shut down. So this law, I think, is a spiritual reaction to that. The British Parliament has gone even further. They've actually passed a law that creates buffer zones now around abortion clinics, and it's now illegal to interfere with anybody's decision to access, provide, or facilitate, they say, quote, the provision of abortion services in that buffer zone, end of quote. So anyone who does, now listen to this, anybody who does could be sent to prison for 2 years. Of course, you know, there's a vagueness to this, right? Interfering, what's that mean, right? It's not very well defined. It can be broadly interpreted by police and judges alike. It's a fascinating and really actually quite troubling story. And I'm just so delighted to be able to go right to Britain now. Kevin Turley joins us. You heard him here earlier, guest hosting the show. He'll be back again. He's a consummate journalist, a scriptwriter, a television host, a podcaster, an author. It's just great to have him here with us. Kevin, thank you for sitting in for me, and especially thank you for staying up late and joining me again today.
No, it's an absolute pleasure to have you back, Drew. It's good to hear you on the air again.
It's a delight to be back, and it always feels good to leave, as I said, the show in very, very competent hands. I was watching the whole tussle with the Prime Minister, and I do want to talk to you a little bit about that, but before we do, I want to talk to this life issue. We see it here in our own country as well. What we have here in America is slightly different than what you have there in England. Difficult for me to believe that you know, what I just shared is actually a reality. Have these government leaders read their history about what happened in the mid-18th century with this little colony called America? Do they see what happens when you begin to persecute people? Tell me what's going on over there and what the reaction has been, if anything at all.
Well, these so-called buffer zones, since 2014, local councils, that's the lowest form of government in this country, have been able to impose these. And to be honest, they have had limited exposure. The first one was in London in 2018 around an abortion centre in Ealing in West London. And that has become the blueprint for this to be rolled out nationally. Now, alongside that, you alluded to the bill that's going through Parliament. It's not quite law yet, but it's going through Parliament. Mm-hmm. A number of very active pro-abortion MPs have been trying to get this on the statute book for a number of years and have failed so far. Yeah. The problem with this latest move, though, is at the moment we are inundated with eco-protesters and vegan right protesters and animal rights protesters, and they're creating a lot of nuisance. They're blocking roads, blocking highways, that sort of thing. And there's a public order bill going through to look at that. And what's happened is that this so-called buffer zone legislation has been tacked on to the end of this. So people are voting for something that they know needs to happen, which is about public order issues. But this is sort of going in by stealth, which is the whole nature of what this thing is. Because if you look at what happened in Bournemouth, it's another example of the modus operandi of the people involved. So first of all, you have BPass running their abortion centre. Now, BPass is a very, very profitable organisation. It has an income of 38 million plus from the British taxpayer, okay, to perform what it does. So these people have a lot of money and a lot of clout. So what happens is, as has happened in London, is that you have a few dedicated, often elderly people who create no problems, who pray outside these places. Often, I've been to the one in Ealing, they used to pray in deck chairs, sitting across on the green, looking across to this place. I mean, you'd have to go out of your way to find them almost. What happens then is that, or what has happened since about 2018, is this group called Sister Support has turned up with lots of noise, lots of banners, lots of hoo-ha, and has created a kind of incident, and the police are called. And then the police are called, and then suddenly it becomes a, quote, local issue. And then the local authority, Ealing, or in this case Bournemouth, have to go into this whole long-winded process to find out, a consultation they call it, to find out what to do about it. Now, speaking to people involved in the Ealing one, they said it was a travesty. There was only one side that was ever going to be listened to. And what happens is what you see today, which is a very bureaucratic document outlawing things which you identified at the top of the show, things like genuflecting or praying or quoting scripture or making the sign of the cross or using holy water. These are ridiculous impositions on free people. But what you also alluded to at the start is true, Drew, which is, yeah, isn't it interesting that even legislative powers recognize the power of our sacramentals,
yeah,
of our prayer, of our scripture? They're frightened of that supernatural, spiritual power outside these places. So in some ways, I see them as affirming what we do. Amen. Okay, they move us back another 100 yards, 200 yards, or whatever it happens to be. But again, as you alluded to at the start, they can't stop us praying, they can't stop us fasting, and they can't stop us witnessing in other ways. So if I may, I'd just like to tell you a very brief story, if
sure,
we've got time.
No, please go ahead.
Of the truth about these.
Okay, Kevin, I'll tell you what. Hold the thought, because I'm up, okay, against the clock here. Let's do this. I'll take a short break so you can go ahead and do that when we come back. Love to hear that story. If you want to join us, by the way, you know the numbers here in the studio. It's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We're speaking today with Kevin Turley and taking a look at what's happening in Britain, both in terms of freedom of speech and the right to assemble and the battle for life. If we get some time, it will also talk about whether former Prime Minister Boris Johnson has got a shot and what's happening with their parliament. We'll be right back.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the Sponsor of our studio line is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/Forrester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Get caught up on that conversation you missed by going to the Relevant Radio archives. Just select The Drew Mariani Show.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion there. RelevantRadio.com. Do a search for the show. You can listen to this conversation or anything you might have missed. We had a great conversation a little bit earlier about some of these new variants of COVID-19 and whether or not your kids should be vaccinated. And just a great conversation still coming up. We're going to take a look at the economy. The president right now speaking on the economy as inflation continues to soar. We'll take a look at what he's saying and so much more, the real estate market, and a whole lot more. If you're just joining me, though, Kevin Turley is here with us, and we're taking a look at some of these, a story that has shocked me. It shouldn't really shock me. We see it here in the States, but there is this, there's a law being proposed for buffer zones around abortion clinics, and where it's illegal to interfere, and Kevin was about to share a story with us. Kevin, let me throw it back to you. Maybe you can pick up where you left off.
Sure, Drew. So if you were listening to the officials down in Bournemouth, you'd think that these pro-life witnesses were horrible people. They're people who display graphic images, who verbally abuse people, who are judgmental towards people, etc., etc., okay? Mm-hmm. So I interviewed a woman maybe 2 years ago. Her name's Elena. It's on the public record. And Elena was a young Romanian au pair in London who found herself pregnant one day. She was so shocked she collapsed, completely blacked out when she found it. She did the test, she found she was pregnant, couldn't believe it. And she told the man who was then her boyfriend, and he said, "You're on your own." He was gone. She told the family that she was au pairing for, who were also her employer and where she was living, and etc., and they kicked her out. She was on the streets. She phoned her mother in Romania and she said, "Have an abortion." And she didn't know what to do. So she started walking towards an abortion center, which I know down in central London. Yeah. And she was crying. She was crying on the streets as she was walking there because she didn't want to do this. She knew in her heart there was a child. She'd been for a scan or whatever. She knew that this was a child. She'd seen the picture of the child on screen and it filled her with joy, but she felt that she had to go through with this. So she turns up at this place, and there's some people outside. And one of them, a very middle-aged woman, kindly came up to her and said, "Do you need any help?" And that word really resonated with her because it was the first act of kindness that anybody had offered to her since she had found herself pregnant. Wow. And she started chatting to them, and this woman said, "Look, we can help you." And she didn't believe it. Elena didn't believe it. It was too good to be true. And she said, "Can you really help me?" She said, "Look, I'm homeless. I've got no money. I've got no job. And I'm pregnant." She said, "We can help you with all of that." And she gave her a pink plastic rosary. And Elena looked at it. Anyway, cut a long story short. Elena was taken by these people. She was given accommodation. She was given money. She was helped through the pregnancy. They were even there at the birth, right? And Elena said when that child was born, she was filled with joy. It was one of those absolutely breathtaking moments about life coming into the world and her child. But the story didn't end there because Elena then subsequently, some years later, became a Catholic. And subsequent to that, she also became very involved in the pro-life witness, as this woman had done. And she used to stand outside the same place that she had gone that day with this woman who had helped her.
Wow.
And she said to me that all the time she carries with her that pink plastic rosary.
Oh, wow.
Now, that is the sort of person, in my experience, who is standing outside these type of places. That's the person often praying quietly, sometimes on their knees, to much public ridicule outside these places. They are not violent. They are not intimidating. They are harassing no one. Yeah. Except the demons inside those places. But there's an even happier story because that place, Whitfield Street, closed down.
Right? Oh, that's great.
And I'll tell you a little, and I'm not going to make too much of this, but one of the people that prayed outside had a great devotion to G.K. Chesterton. And the day that he heard it was closed down, a sign came up on the board, and it was Chesterton's Estate Agents. So that's the truth. This is what's been criminalized.
It's amazing, though, the power of prayer, isn't it? And what
totally.
Love and mercy can do, and how it transforms lives, how that ripples out. You know, in the end, Kevin, the culture of death will be vanquished. In the end, life wins. You know, death feeds upon itself. So that's what gives me hope. Here in the States, I was glad to see Roe v. Wade finally fall. You know, we knew communism reigned for over 7 decades, and I didn't know how long, you know, the culture of death here in the country. Well, our battle continues now more at a state level. Where is it in your country right now? I mean, I was sad to see what happened in Ireland, but you know, I'm sure you have pockets of faithful like we do here, fighting for life, 40 days for life. I'm sure it's having a very powerful effect. What's going on there, and where are people in terms of their hearts when it comes to this issue?
Well, the stark reality is, Drew, that in the United States, and we watch what's happening in the United States with great interest, abortion is what's known as a hot button issue. It's a political issue. It's an issue which comes up at election time, et cetera, et cetera. Roe versus Wade was a huge event. The situation here is that abortion is not even registering on any political compass. At best, it's a fringe interest. It's got some very devoted, a very small but very devoted bunch of MPs who are pro-life and very bravely pro-life. But all the political parties are pro-abortion, essentially, all the main political parties. And they don't even want to debate it.
Yeah.
And the media over here is so biased. I mean, when Roe versus Wade went through, the BBC in particular was shameful in their bias and in the way they reported that, as if American women were being herded into camps, you know, this sort of drama. So it's just not an issue here. Anybody who is pro-life is seen as a little bit eccentric. There's more talk of environmentalism or animal rights,
same here.
Votes for cows. I mean, you know, it's crazy. Yeah. So, we are a small group and a fringe group, but, you know, truth was never popular, Drew. Ask our Lord on Gethsemane.
Well, you look at the early church, it was a handful of people that went out and converted the world, and we'll do the same thing. Life, as
totally.
I said, the culture of death will never be victorious. Let's grab a call or two before we run out of time.
Sure.
Michelle's been waiting in Silver Spring, Maryland to join the conversation. Michelle, hi, you're on the air with Kevin Turley.
Hi. I just, as I listen, horrified, absolutely horrified. There aren't even words for how this makes me feel. It just, the question that comes up in my mind is, do the pregnancy aid centers, the places that are trying to help women choose life, any chance any of them are getting a buffer zone around them to protect them from the people who are...
That's such a great question, Michelle.
I
love it. Yeah, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I mean, why not, Kevin? I don't know of any here in the States that get that buffer zone protection. You can speak to your own country.
No. They tend to have to keep a low profile. I know one center which helps women in the center of London, and it's really interesting because they style themselves the Women's Center. And it's kind of good camouflage because everybody walking past thinks, oh, Women's Center, that's right. About X, Y, and Z, when in fact it's pregnant mothers that are helping. But, I mean, to be honest, we are so small. Pro-lifers in this country are such a small group and fringe. So,
Kevin, let me speak. You know, you're a man of words. So I want your take on this. One of the things that frustrates me here in the States is the co-opting of language. We're seeing, I just saw on the monitor in front of me here, apparently our Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, was holding a conference on, quote, reproductive rights. You know, and really that's a euphemism for abortion, for the murder of a child in the womb. There's nothing reproductive about what they are talking about. And, of course, I give you a whole litany of other words that are often used here. Do you have the same thing in your country? And what are you seeing, I mean, about that? It's a very effective tool. The left here seem to have really utilized it quite brilliantly.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same here. You know, abortion rights, reproductive rights, so on and so forth. I mean, I think it's the father of lies, right? It's the twisting of language. Because truth, to speak to truth, you have to speak plainly what something is. That's the truth of it, right? And you see, the truth of abortion, as Chesterton, the quote him said, it was a barbaric act. It is the killing of a child. That's what it is, okay? They can dress it up in any kind of funny words they want to, but as long as they keep the idea of a child out of the picture, then they can somehow continue with this barbarism. That's what it is. And that's what we need to call out. And we need to say, this is a pregnant woman. This is an unborn child.
Amen.
Take it from there.
Hey, I only have about a minute, maybe two left. Your politics, you know, I thought American politics was a soap opera. Man, I'm looking at what's happening from former Prime Minister Boris Johnson to, you know, what's happening with Liz Truss right now. If you could, in a minute, give me a quick snapshot of what's unfolding, what you think is going to happen.
Well, we're never going to forget Liz Truss. In the matter of 44 days, she buried a queen, she buried the pound, she buried the Tory party, one chancellor, and she almost buried the UK government all in one go. I mean, Boris will be back, I think. Boris will be back. He's coming back, but we're in such a dire state economically. I don't know if it's going to make any difference, to be honest, Drew. We need a saviour, not Boris Johnson. We need another saviour.
Amen to that.
The saviour.
I'm with you. Hey, Kevin, thank you. Thanks for sitting in for me while I was gone. Thanks for staying up late and hanging out with me here. I appreciate your perspective. Let's do it again soon, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Drew.
Brother. Thank you. That's Kevin Turley. I'm up against the clock. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be back on the other side. Peter Grandage is going to be stopping by.